Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Dashboard Outlaw Show with your host, Earl Conley, right here on Supermergent Radio. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready. Earl's about to hammer down.
Do you hear our elected representatives telling you our country is a republic?
What I'm about to say is fact.
What if the rights and principles guaranteed in the Constitution have been so distorted in the past 200 years as to be unrecognizable by the founders?
It's called the Constitution! Restore it! Don't ignore it!
Does the government work for us or do we work for the government?
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
Are you free? Are you free? There is no greater good than each of us being free. That is the ultimate good!
The eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools, we're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the Sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything is in between them is our home. Done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools, we're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
Ladies and gentlemen, was the one and only Charlie Daniels, and that's the America we need right now. We need the ones that are going to stand up and bring this country back up on its feet. That's what the Dashboard Outlaw is all about. Fight for your rights. Before we get started, as always, I want to say thank you to Austin Thomas, Liberty Lisa, for giving me this show. Austin Thomas, same phone number, same network address. Does the he hosts Unraveling the Matrix. And Liberty Lisa, she hosts the Truth Train, also same web address, same phone number. And then we've got Lee Pierre. He does my commercials and all the sound effects and things like that on all the shows. That guy's worth his weight in gold. And then my intro music was done by Renegade Smith, and I thank him for that. It's a kick-ass intro. Tonight we've got some very, very interesting news possibly coming. I'm hoping this man will call. His name is KC, and he's down there on the border, and he's got news to give us about what's going on down there. And before I get to my rant, I am going to bring on Gail Patricia Whitwright, school teacher from Connecticut, and let her give us an update on what's going on with Proposition USA. Then I'm going to go into my rant, and then we're going to hopefully have our KC give us a call here and put his hand up. Anyhow, here's Gail. And how you doing, Gail?
Hi, Earl. I decided I want you to call me Miss Whitwright from now on.
Miss Whitwright. Gotcha.
I want people to know I'm an old maid school teacher, and I'm still available.
All right. You're still available.
Hey, I like... She's
a nice-looking woman, boys.
Thank you. I like that song, Earl. I'd like to steal it from... That should be my theme song, Bringing Our Country Back. That's what we're all trying to do.
That was Charlie Daniels, In America, one of my favorite songs.
Absolutely. Tomorrow night we're going to be meeting in Connecticut, throughout Connecticut, but my group is going to be on the corner of 68 and 69, Route 68 and 69 in Prospect, Connecticut at 5 o'clock. But as you know, what we're doing is waving the American flag to bring our country back and help our veterans. We love our veterans, and every single day, 23 commit suicide. There's 200,000 homeless veterans, and they are also dying from lack of care. So we are determined. I am extremely determined to, I don't care what it takes. And this, Earl, would be for the whole month of September. Just, please call a radio station. Please wave the flag. If all you can do is wave the flag at the end of your driveway, that's good, too. But every single night, the whole month of September, and I'm still looking for a high school that I could possibly go speak at, and a high school can rally the whole town. So that's basically it. It's incredibly, tomorrow's September. Again, where did the summer go to? But it's called PropositionUSA.com. And I'm asking all the truckers out there to please spread the word about this. All you have to do, 5 o'clock your time, no matter where you are, just wave that flag and keep this thing going. Because we love our veterans, and I'm certainly aware every day because of them, I am free. Thank you so much, Earl.
You're welcome, my dear, and Miss Whitwright. you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner, okay?
Okay, Earl. I have called you a few things, but that's okay.
Yeah,
thank
that's right.
Earl,
hey,
so
my
much.
Wife said in the chat room, hey, go girl. Oh, wait a minute. She said, you go Gail. That's what she said. Okay.
All right.
All right. Now, let me get on with my rant, and if you're still here later on, Gail, I'll unmute you. All right, babe?
Okay. Thanks, Earl. God bless you.
All right. Good. Thanks, Gail. All right. I always open my show with a rant, but today I've got a whole bunch of stuff happening today, but I'm going to still get on with this rant. This is the only chance I get to speak without interruption. Anyway, I labeled the event "Screw the Government" and "To Hell with Islam and Anyone," who supports the corruption. I labeled it that for a reason. You can't have two masters. As Jesus Christ said, you'll come to love one and hate the other. You cannot be on both sides of the fence. However, throughout the week, the month, for as long as I've been on Facebook, I see people constantly trying to be on both sides. And quite frankly, it aggravates me and makes me very angry, because it's as simple as this. It's either you're on this side or you're on that side. You can't have it both ways. It's not possible. I'm going to go through a few examples. Okay. You cannot support two sides. So if you're for secure borders, you cannot be for illegal immigration. If you're for individualism, you cannot be for collectivism. If you are for the Constitution, you cannot be for Islam. They're polar opposites. If you're for Christ, you cannot be for abortion or anything else that God does not condone. If you're for freedom, you cannot be for a police state. If you're for your rights, you cannot be for government controls. So you need to make up your mind. What side are you on? Some people say, well, you've got to have the cops. Yeah, we've got to have the constitutional cops, the ones that are appointed by the people through election. That would be the United States Marshals and the sheriffs. But see, the marshals, even though they're a federal, they're not elected. They're appointed by the federal government. But the United States Marshals, when he's in the district of a particular sheriff's area, the sheriff is always the lead and highest authority as far as the police is concerned. But back in the old days when we used to actually live under common law, everybody carried a gun. Why? Because the Second Amendment said so. We're allowed. And the Second Amendment is not created by government. It's only outlined by the government. Pardon me. The Second Amendment, everybody understands that that's your right to defend yourself, especially from government. But there was another feature of that Second Amendment and why people were allowed to carry guns. And that was because you, the citizens, were the law, were the cops. Our Constitution and our founders did not design our country's laws and government to have professional police officers other than the sheriff, who answers to the people. But when you've got these cops with all these weapons and pepper spray and all this other crap that they carry, and they're coming at you, they're nothing more than Pinkertons, hired security. They were not elected by you and me. They were hired. And that is not a constitutional thing. If you doubt me, look it up, Google it, say, are cops or police constitutional? And you'll find I am correct. We are not supposed to have state police and city police and this police and that police and Homeland Security. No, we're supposed to have sheriffs, United States Marshals. These people that are running around putting your face to the ground, pepper spraying you, beating the crap out of you, shooting your dogs. These are not the way the Constitution designed it. Now, here's the thing. If you are for the cops and you think, well, there's good cops out there, then make me a believer. Bring them on this show next Sunday if you can get them on tonight. Bring them on tonight. Get that cop in here and tell me How many bad cops have he arrested? How many bad judges has he arrested? Bad politicians. Bring them on. Make me a believer. Because I could sit and watch bad cops, bad judges, bad politicians on YouTube all day long and never run out of videos to watch. But I cannot find a single, not one single cop arresting another cop for violating a citizen's rights, abusing his power. I can't find it. And what we've got today, you've got to understand what we have today, they are not your authority. And when you have a sheriff that is acting outside of the Constitution, he too is now on the side of the criminal. He too, whether he has a badge on or not, he is a criminal if he's operating outside the Constitution. You are supposed to be living under common law, protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. If you are not living in that condition where you are the king and queen of this county, this state, and this country, you're not living in a free society that our founders did. It's just as simple as that. You can always go and say, oh, well, Earl, come on, man. You got to have cops. We need cops. Do we? Really? I'll tell you what. No matter where you are, the mall, the Walmart, your house, local swimming hole, call the cops. For whatever reason, you got to call them. How long does it take them to get there? Guess what? You and I, we the people, we are already there. It's a lot faster to pull a gun out of a holster and shoot the bad guy in the leg. You don't have to be lethal and kill him and shoot him in the chest. Shoot him in his damn leg. We can get that done a lot faster than those cops can get there. And when they get there, they're stormtroopers. They've got a whole bunch of guys coming out, and they're pointing guns at everybody and treating everybody like they're criminals. Unless you haven't realized, today our cops are not our fellow citizens. They're going to these cop schools to learn to treat you and me like we are enemy combatants on a battlefield. Because, you know, you didn't see these kinds of things when I was a little kid. I mean, even when I was a little kid growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, even back then we had cops violating the hell out of people's rights. So this has been going along a long time. But even back then, they didn't come stormtrooping like they're in Iraq or something. But that's the way they're doing now. I watched a video given out by Blaine Cooper of these cops break into these people's house, and they put these women down to the ground without a warrant. And then there's these their excuses. They got a 911 call. And it's been proven, this has been going on all over the country, the cops themselves will make the 911 call just as so that they can go in there. But you know what? The Fourth Amendment says, and a person shall be secure in their person, their property, and their documents. It doesn't say, unless a 911 call is made, then your rights go out the window. It doesn't say that. These kind of videos make my blood boil, and I'm sitting here turning red in the face wishing I could do something about it. If I go and do something about it by myself, I'm going to be the crazy man on the 11 o'clock news. But if you get up, do these camping trips I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks now, Patriot camping trips. You don't need me to do it. You don't need that guy over there to do it. You do it yourself. Set up a camping trip. Start inviting your Patriot friends on your Facebook page. Meet face-to-face. Once you've done that and you've got a face-to-face meeting going on, it changes the whole ballgame, because now those words that you're seeing on Facebook now have a face with expressions and the little human interactions. Go to these things. Yes, have a good time. Go fishing, go tubing, go swimming. Do the things you do normally at a camping trip. But make sure you make time to sit around and have a meeting. Make sure you make time to get where everybody can get a chance to lay out their ideas, lay out their plans. And if I can attend your camping trip, I will. And if my ideas are great and one of you guys are qualified, like military trained qualified, to put my ideas into action, by all means, help yourself. If you can improve one of my ideas, by all means, please do. If you've got a better idea and mine really suck, that's okay. As long as you've got a better idea, put it to work. Anyway, we've got a full board tonight, and I'm going to bring Miss Karen in, and Miss Karen is going to give us a Charles Dyer, the July 4th Patriot, update, and here she is.
Hi, Earl. How
Hi,
are you?
I'm good, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself so they know who the heck is talking and all that stuff.
I'm Karen Hardiman. I guess I've been around the Patriot community as a whole for a long time now. I am actually helping a friend of mine right now who is sitting behind bars and has been for almost 4 years now. His name is July 4 Patriot. You can look up his videos on YouTube. He was one of the very first to start sounding the alarm, encouraging people to learn about their constitutional rights, exercise their constitutional rights, come together, stand up against tyranny in all forms. He apparently made a lot of people mad when he did that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a little while with his mother. I believe she'll be calling in, as well as another friend of his. What we've got going on now, though, is for those of you not familiar, when he was making these videos, he made a lot of people mad, stepped on some toes, and they tried to get him on a weapons charge. Well, he beat the federal case, and then they said that they were going to try to come up with other charges, and, well, they did. We think that they got together with his estranged wife, and he is actually doing time now for what they said was molesting his own daughter, but that's not true. There's DNA evidence that proves his innocence. There's physical hard drives from computers that proves his innocence. There's, talking about the trials, there was three trials, to get him convicted. On the third trial, they didn't submit any of the physical evidence. It was basically all hearsay testimony from his estranged wife that was all the jury was allowed to hear. And based on that, there's some paperwork on a specific judge's desk right now where he has applied for a something called post-conviction relief. And we are asking people, if they can, go to www.scribd, that's scribd.com/ July, the number 4, Patriot. And, you're welcome to read up. A lot of the court documents are up on there. A lot of the evidence is listed up on this website as well. Since this has been an ongoing case for some time, it's perfectly legal for everyone to have that up on the website. Okay, Scribd is www.scribd.com/ July, the number 4, and Patriot.
Okay, well, and I hope somebody got that because I can't type fast enough.
Okay, this information can also be found in a Facebook group. It's called Patriots for Justice in the case of Charles Dyer.
Right, right. I got that one on my Facebook page, yes.
Right, right. Now, all of the information as far as the websites and a lot of information pertaining to the case can be found on there, as well as a copy that of a letter that I mailed off to the judge this week, and that's what we're actually asking people to do. Now, I went ahead and posted a copy of the letter that I wrote with, you know, just a little reminder that we're not asking people to be threatening or combative or, you know, nobody wants to rock the boat, but we need to let this judge know that we expect him to be accountable to the same laws in which he enforces on the rest of society, basically. Because legally, I mean, they've come right out and said that he's technically being held in there on a technicality, not because of merits of the case or anything else.
Karen, didn't you say there was a man named Ricky Light?
Rick Light, yes, sir.
Well, he's here now.
Okay, well, buzz him in,
Mr. Ricky Light?
Well, hello. How are y'all doing tonight?
Is this Ricky Light?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Oh, hey, Ricky. Karen was telling me you were going to call in tonight. What you got for us?
Oh, well, I'm just going to kind of back Karen up. As most people know, that me and Charles are really good friends. I was highly involved with everything when it first took off, as far as when the court system took his girlfriend's child, or his girlfriend's daughter, Lily, and, well, we always stood with Charles, and we always tried to support him, and, well, the support usually always fell short for one reason or another. People were either afraid or, well, misinformed, or just didn't have the time to get involved. And, you know, we got to do better than that. When our patriot brothers and sisters get in trouble like Charles did, we need to remember that because somebody's accused of something does not mean that they did it. I'm glad I hung in with Charles and got to see all the facts, because there's absolutely no evidence, and I do mean none, there is no evidence that Charles touched his daughter ever. I was at all three trials. I've seen all the evidence produced. They basically railroaded Charles over hearsay. Now, this is what happens when we don't support each other.
And I got to say, since Karen and Charles' mom was on the show the last couple of weeks ago, I've been saying, if we don't start supporting our own patriots, especially guys like Charles Dyer, eventually all of us are going to be Charles Dyer in prison, because they will put stuff on your computer, your phones, and then come by, just like I was just saying in my rant, just because somebody calls 911 does not give the cops the excuse to come invade your home. But the this police force is acting these days, they'll call the 911 themselves, give themselves an excuse to come into your home and break the laws from the minute they even put their uniforms on. Well, they'll do the same thing to you and me. They'll put child porn on your computer or your phone, or say get somebody to scare your kid or something into making a lie and say that you did this or you did that. And then they got you. What better way to discredit a patriot than call him a child molester? And then everybody, including family, turns their back on this person because they want to believe the guy in the fucking uniform.
Right. Well,
it wasn't necessarily the guy in the uniform. Let's step back a minute off that. Now, I know we've got a problem in our law enforcement, but that basically trickles down to our sheriffs. Look, we need more constitutional sheriffs. If you've got a constitutional sheriff, well, like our sheriff over in Edwards County. Now, I'm telling you right now, if any of those deputies violate any of the civilians' rights in our county, Pam's going to have them. Sheriff Elliott's going to have them now. She's not going to put up with that. And that's good. One of our deputies did step out of line, and she put him through a little education course for a couple weeks.
Not easy to find, let me tell you that.
Right, and this is what we need. Another thing we have going on is prosecutors seem to start to overrule the power of the sheriff. Now, this is what happened in Duncan, Oklahoma. We had a prosecutor that was dead set to get Charles. Well, unfortunately, Sheriff McKinney could be the best man in the world. He really could. But he does not understand his power as a sheriff. The prosecutor doesn't tell the sheriff what to do. The sheriff tells the prosecutor what to do. It's the opposite way around with Sheriff McKinney.
The sheriff has more power than the governor.
Right. That makes Sheriff McKinney a terrible sheriff. And I've told Sheriff McKinney this. I've told him, I said, Sheriff McKinney, you could be the best guy in the world. I really believe you'd be a good man of a good heart. But you're a lousy sheriff because you don't understand your power and you will not put your foot down when you should. Now, if Sheriff McKinney would have put his foot down when he had the chance, Charles would not be in this problem.
Absolutely not. And let me interrupt just a second, gentlemen. I would like to, Earl, if it's okay with you and Rick, I would like to read, now this was a very brief and direct letter that I wrote to Judge Enos.
Sure.
And the reason, yeah, I want to do this because it touches a little bit on, well, how the stuff went in the courtroom, if you will give me just a few minutes.
You betcha.
I said, Dear Judge Enos, I'm writing you today to simply express my concern as a concerned citizen and respectfully implore you to provide post-conviction relief to a gentleman by the name of Charles Dyer in the case CF-210-17. I took an interest in this case several years ago and am very well versed in the facts, evidence, and have even read the transcripts from the trials. The inconsistencies of testimony from the prosecution and the confusion expressed by the forensic examiner as whether to determine whether an attack had even taken place are alone, in my opinion, enough to support claims of failure to elect a crime. All physical evidence known in existence of this case as a whole points to the innocence, not the guilt, of the defendant. Said evidence was also withheld from the jury in the third trial by the defense attorney in defiance of pleas given by the defendant. Does not this in itself provide grounds for relief based on both insufficient evidence to sustain a conviction and ineffective assistance of counsel? The trial was conducted with entirely too much false testimony to sustain a reliable verdict. This was, in my opinion, a prime example of prosecutorial misconduct in which Valerie, his estranged ex, was allowed to give exaggerated statements and misinformation while testifying. It is also my opinion that the perjured testimony given by this woman was knowingly accepted by the prosecution, as the majority of her statements were contradictory to facts supported by physical evidence. This in itself was a blatant and successful attempt to damage the reputation and credibility of the defendant in the eyes of the jury. I have to say that the details of this case are deeply troubling to me as a citizen of Stevens County and have led me to question not only the integrity of the law enforcement community but the judicial system as well. Perhaps I am a bit idealistic in my thoughts that those in positions of authority are bound by the same laws that they enforce on society as a whole and are also called to seek true justice based on facts, not merely their personal opinions of individuals accused of crime. Isn't it true that every time an innocent person is incarcerated, that it becomes harder to lock away the real criminals? Isn't it true that those in positions of authority are not only called to protect society from real predators, but to protect innocent individuals from those who would seek to manipulate laws for malicious intent? I thank you, sir, for your time, and I hope that you will give my words consideration in this matter. Sincerely, Karen Hardiman. Now, that is what we are asking people to send in similar letters like this to the judge. If you are in agreement with this cause, and, I'm glad, Rick, that you called in tonight, because right now we're not asking only people, I mean, of course we're wanting people to come together, show support for Charles, stand shoulder to shoulder with us that are standing up and putting our names out there. We've all let go of the fear. Ain't none of us around here worried about being labeled a domestic terrorist. Ain't none of us got that fear of, oh, well, if I do this and put my name out there, they're going to kick in my door at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know what happens at my house, wrong house, okay? Call me a domestic terrorist because I'm a Christian, because I homeschool, because I believe in the Second Amendment, whatever. You know what, I think it's a big joke, and I'm not even going to give them the credibility to lose any sleep over it at night. This is America. Americans have got to become Americans again. And we've got to join together and put an end to a lot of the infighting that's going on between certain individuals, between certain groups, what have you. okay? If you can't get along with each other, just don't talk to each other. But that doesn't mean that you can't come together and you cannot support a specific cause that is right and just. And, Earl, like you said, Rick, you've expressed it too. If we allow what has happened to Charles, and we just read about it, we shake our head and we go, oh, that's unfortunate. But, you know, that's what happens when you buck the system and you talk out against, you know, bad politicians and, you know.
Let me get a word in edgewise here.
Okay.
Let me get a word in edgewise. Now, referring to what Mr. Light said. Yes, there are good constitutional cops. There are good cops, but here's my problem with the good cops. The road to hell is paved in good intentions with good people. The fact is that if there's a good constitutional cop and he knows of other not-so-good constitutional cops and he's not doing anything about them, then he is not a good constitutional cop. Anyway,
well, let's see if we can get some support. If there's good cops out there, let them write in and talk about what's wrong with this case. Let them write in and talk about how it's unfair to persecute innocent persons.
Whether it's cops, prosecutors, judges, anybody, if they're manipulating the law and putting an innocent man in jail, then a good cop would be arresting those people for manipulating and abusing their office. But I am not seeing this anywhere in this country. 580, I believe that's Mr. Dyer's mother. Isn't that correct?
That's Ms. Jan. That's Mama Bear.
Is that Mama Bear on that there channel?
Yeah, that's Mama Bear.
Ah, okay. Well, I see the number, but I didn't know who it was. All I knew is that the area code matched yours, Karen.
Yeah.
Hi, Mama Bear.
Howdy do.
How's Mama Dyer this evening?
I think I'm fine as a flitter.
That's good to hear.
There's not a whole lot of change in anything. We're just sitting on hold waiting.
I pull up the stuff every day
to see if they've filed anything else, and so far, not a thing.
And we're getting close to the date, too. They were supposed to have an answer back in 45 days, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the district attorney had 45 days to answer his amended part of his brief, but we haven't heard anything yet. They've had a big case going on, which the gentleman was found not guilty. So now that they've had their holiday over and the case is over, maybe they will sit down and think and look and pray and come up with the right decision.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's what we're going to hope. Now, what we've been talking about, I'm sure, Mama Bear, you was listening, was, you know, good cops and not standing up when the bad cops are doing wrong, and how if we don't all come together on this and refuse to accept these abuses of power, it's going to start happening to everybody. Real quick, can we go back?
There's no start about it. It's already begun. It's happening everywhere. And all these cops, good cops and bad cops, are. Let me say it this way. What I've experienced since I was a child, and I'm now 51 years old, they take care of each other. They're a brotherhood, a fraternity, and they swear an allegiance to that fraternity over and above the Constitution. So, therefore, we've got cops that are unconstitutional in the first place, like state police and blah, blah, blah. And what they're doing is that this one cop, he might be doing something wrong, and this guy might be the best cop, most constitutional cop in the world. But if he's turning a blind eye to what the bad cop is doing, he now is guilty, and he has blood on his hands for the same thing the bad cop's doing. It's the same thing as if you and me, Karen, Mr. Light and Mama Bear all went to town in the same car, but you guys jumped out, robbed the bank, and I'm sitting in the car, but I don't do anything about it. Well, I'm going to prison for bank robbery, even though I didn't do anything, just because I turned a blind eye I'm now guilty of bank robbery, just like you are. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. That's correct.
Right, and I want to give you a prime example of that, Earl. Mama Bear, we want to go back to the beginning. Before these pedophile charges come up, let's go back to the beginning, to the federal case, and let's talk about that search warrant that they executed and the reason being and the things that they were looking for and the things that they found and tried to say that he was a domestic terrorist.
Well, I'll tell you what they were looking for. I can read it off of the search warrant. Stolen property, including but not limited to grenade launchers, grenades, bulletproof vests, firearms, explosives, chemical compounds, mixtures or devices, the primary or common purpose of which is to function by explosion with a substantial release of gas and or heat as to cause damage to property or persons, including but limited to gunpowder, black powder, ammonia, or nitrodynamite, water gel, TNT, nitroglycerin, sodium or potassium chlorates, ammonium phosphate, plastic explosive compounds, and C4, incendiary devices, chemical compounds, mixtures or devices, the primary or common purpose of which is to function by explosion to ignite and cause fire, including but not limited to gasoline, diesel fuel, kerosene, other flammable solvents, manual or electronic detonating devices, including but not limited to blasting caps, detonation cords and timers, containers used to hold explosives, batteries, electric wires, schematic diagrams or instructions, or literature describing the manufacturing process of explosive or incendiary devices, and papers such as items of mail or utility bills, and or personal items such as driver's license or other photographic identification to confirm dominion and control. And,
now, what all did they find? Now let's. What all did they find and they try to use against him?
And none of this had anything to do with child molestation.
No, this was before, Earl. This was the federal case. Remember when they tried to say that he had a stolen grenade launcher when it was supposed to have been a flare launcher that was still in the wrapper from whenever he had ordered it? And they already had that. This
well,
was before
some
this
guy
case.
Gave it to him in California,
right.
Told him it was a flare launcher. But that is what they went to looking for when they found it. And
all right. Well, let me slow everybody down here because we've got another hand up and he wants to chime in on this here conversation. So
okay.
Let's bring him in. Let's say here. Come on. Come on, computer. There we go. All right. 336, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hello, Denise.
Denise Freeman is in touch with the people out there on the border, and she's a busy woman. She's been working real hard with not just patriot movements, but she's also been working really, really hard with the people in the militia down on the border. And Denise, did you have something you wanted to add in here today?
Actually, Casey should be calling any minute in from Camp Lone Star on the border in reference to his property being seized illegally yesterday, a couple of days ago. They were asked to assist with the Border Patrol. They were shot at by the Border Patrol, and then they seized their weapons from them and did not give them any written documentation.
I don't understand that. How can they seize the militia's weapons? What did they do? Just hand them over and say, okay?
Well, what they did was they wanted to run the serial numbers on them, and they allowed them to do that, and then held them for 5 hours and then let them leave and told them they couldn't have their property back, including their camera with the film on it. And it happened Friday.
It's the same story. The only difference is they kept the weapons off of the militia guys, and in Charles Dyer's case, they kept Charles Dyer.
Yeah.
Because
well,
Charles Dyer was dangerous to their agenda, because when he spoke, he gained audience quickly. And that worries the government. They do not want anybody to unseat them from their power.
They don't want the truth.
Because as long as they can keep us believing that they're the authority and we must obey at all costs, they get to keep that power. That's what I've been trying to tell people. I do not want war. I do not want violence, but I do want to fight. I do want to put these people in their place, and I do have ideas of how to do it without the violence and the bloodshed. But as long as we just sit here and talk and post on Facebook, we ain't scaring nobody in government. We ain't going to get Charles free unless by some miracle we get a judge that ain't so corrupt that says, all right, look, this guy ain't got nothing against them. Well, we can't convict them, let them go. And the militia guys ain't going to get their weapons back because you can bet your bottom dollar the Border Patrol. They're federal agents. They sit there. I deal with Border Patrol every time I go cross Highway Interstate 10 or Interstate 20. They sit there hundreds of miles off of the border searching people's cars without warrants. And they're usually American citizens that they're searching. The Border Patrol is a frickin' joke. It's just another branch of government out to just take our rights away. I don't know how to make people understand. You're wanting security and freedom at the same time. You can't have both. If you want security, you have to have freedom and secure yourself.
Can I give a famous quote and ask which one of you guys know who said it? Those who would give up.
I'm making myself angry.
Those who would give up freedom for security deserve neither.
Benjamin Franklin.
Thank you, Rick. And that is a very true statement. And, you know, that's what we need to remind people is, look, you need to come together. You need to stand shoulder to shoulder. You need to be supporting one another. The case with Charles, this is not an isolated incident. This is happening all over the country. Now, Charles has just been dealing with it, and the family, the friends, it's been going on longer because, you know, he was one of the first that really, really brought a lot of light to the Patriot movement, to the militia movement as a whole. You know, so that's the only difference is, you know, what we see, the headlines today of people who are having their rights violated, they're being detained under false manners, they're being harassed, they're, you know, let's not even talk about Michael Hastings and how he was dead. You know, that was just a journalist that was getting ready to expose somebody in the government with a piece. Funny how that story never came to light either. Imagine that.
We are currently working on Article 5 public movement page on Facebook, if you want to go and like it. We currently have a plan in place to set this country back to its constitutional status by way all legal means. We have included all patriot groups and our all types of militia-style groups, Oath Keepers, 3%ers, individual militias. We are working with term limits for Congress. We are working with attorneys. We are working with everyday American citizens, and we are promoting constitutional elected officials. We are also putting our elected officials that are seated on November, we will do a mass mail to every elected official in America and put them on a 30-day notice to respond to whether they are constitutional or federal, and then we will watch them with our militia groups. And if y'all will like that page, you can find a whole lot of info. We also have our own independent news network page based out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we put the news out before the news puts it out. We broke the story this morning about the Syrian takeover before the national news did in America. If you want
it's
any updates on the border,
it's really good. Getting all the groups to come together, but people need to start taking action on a personal level, not just in a group level. That's what we're stressing to everybody. You know, sitting around.
Yeah, that's what we are doing. We are organizing that for everybody. We are putting that organization together for that.
Please, one at a time. You're coming across extorted when you talk over each other.
Right. We are organizing this to be a national movement. Not just one county, one state, or one party. We're not going to vote Republican or Democrat. We're going to vote American. And we have our Facebook page up. Our web link will be up in about 2 weeks. And we have different divisions. It's set up as a business-style type format for all different divisions. We only deal with leaders of militia, so we don't have to worry about the infighting. And everybody works together, and everybody does this for free. There's no charge, no cost. We promote everybody that is in favor of constitutional rights, period. Any event, any patriotic event, whatever it is, as long as it's constitutional, we promote it. And if you want news on the border...
Let me ask everybody a question.
Okay.
My question is simple. If you want freedom, how far are you willing to go for it?
My name's out there everywhere.
Answer that question.
My name's everywhere.
But, I mean, everybody's got to ask that question. How far are you willing to go to secure freedom? Even if it means your own death, are you willing to go that far?
I'm right
Can
there.
Can I interject something here real quick?
Go ahead.
Everybody to think about the animal kingdom out there. What happens when you grab any wild animal in the woods and take its freedom from it? From the tiniest mouse to the elephant, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what will happen.
The will to
He's
going to
come out
that
fighting.
That animal was installed to defend its freedom to its death, even if it has to kill you to keep it. In other words, that mouse is going to bite the fire out of you to get loose. Elephant's going to stomp you in the ground and kill you. Well, man is no different. We're no different. We're installed with that same element of what you would call defending our freedom, that love of freedom. That's why I try to tell folks, freedom will never die. I hear people saying, well, our freedom is dead. No, sorry, freedom cannot die. It isn't something that has a heartbeat or a breath. It's like love.
The good Lord has put the desire of freedom in every human being's heart, whether they like it or not, it's there. That's why we like to do the things we like to do.
That's right. The problem
nobody likes being incarcerated.
And Charles had that drive for freedom.
Well, Charles, being a United States Marine, goes over to other countries thinking he's fighting for our freedoms, come back here and find out that it ain't our freedoms that he was fighting for. I'm sure he's one disappointed person because, you know, the July 4th Patriot still wants to fight, but he wants to fight for what he believes in. And then when he starts opening his mouth over here, what do? They find a way to throw propaganda up and grab him and put him in a cage. Well,
right, not just to discredit him, but to discredit
the movement.
When
he gets out of that cage, I hope he goes full bore on them and both barrels, man. I hope he just goes and gets a massive army. And starts working on restoring the freedom, because a man like that that can get that kind of an audience in that short of a time is definitely a threat to their power seat.
I apologize
definitely.
For the audio.
And, you know, he's Charles is very gifted. He is very gifted. He's very dedicated to the Constitution, very dedicated to the whole idea of personal freedom, personal liberty. And, you know, it kills me knowing him personally, Rick, Mama Bear, they can attest to it. You know, you can't cage a wild thing. You can't. You know, Charles is, you know, he'd much rather be out camping somewhere or, you know, doing something. And for this man to have to go through and his family to sit back and to watch the things that they have gone through since the beginning of this will turn your stomach. And I have to ask anybody who says that, oh, yeah, I'm for freedom, I support this, I support that, why are you not supporting this man? This man is largely responsible for the activity and the online video, all them online videos that you're seeing now. And you know, he basically put Oath Keepers on the map. He helped, you know, teach people, you know, about different groups and you know, the knowledge that he has brought to people and the people's eyes that he has opened is in itself, it's just awe-inspiring. You know, if you are for freedom,
I have to cut you off for a minute here because the call that I've been waiting for with the live report from the border is on the board now, and I'm going to bring him in and let him say his thing, all right? Okay. KC, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
hi, KC.
How's it going on down there? We got a full board tonight, so... Everybody's been waiting for your phone call to give us this update of what's going on down there.
Well, we're still hard at it. We're still trying to accomplish our mission. We're not going to be held back by anybody or anything.
And that's a good thing. Determination makes a powerful foe. So what's this I hear about the Border Patrol misbehaving?
I'm going to go ahead and start from the top. That way I don't have to cut back and forth and I might miss something, so I'm going to start from the top. The other day, Friday, we had obtained new permission to patrol another approximately 3 miles of border that was known to be a heavy narco-trafficking area. It is a heavily trafficked area. We went and spoke with the property owners. We were given their list of rules, what they wanted us to do and not to do, and we were given consent to patrol the property. As a matter of procedure, the first thing that we do when we acquire new property is to go recon or scout the property to try to find the trouble areas. One of the things that we do when we find an area or a crossing is we pick up the debris and refuse that's left by these illegals. And that serves two purposes. First purpose is it cleans up our state. Second purpose is it helps us to determine and recognize when there's been new traffic because we'll notice the new trash. We had gone and cleaned three crossings. When we came back up off the ridge and ran into a dismounted Border Patrol officer. When a Border Patrol officer agent is dismounted out of their vehicle, that means that they are actively in a pursuit. We know that because we've worked with the Border Patrol for the last, you know, month plus. So I approached the Border Patrol officer and I asked him what was going on. At that time, he explained to me that they had illegals in the brush being pushed toward our location. I asked the Border Patrol agent, would you like our help? He responded, yes. So his back was to the river. We heard voices in the river. So I deployed my men along the riverbank to cover this BP officer's six while he addressed the forward problem of the immigrants being pushed toward him. Because one of the agreements that we made with BP is we would not be in the bush, that we would stay between the border road and the border. That way there was no confusion, and we didn't run across them, they didn't run across us, and we have an issue that wound up occurring. So we deployed to the river. I was in an observation point observing a male that was late 20s, early 30s, heavily tattooed, that was shouting commands and whistling up and down the river. He was physically in the river. That he had four other guys with him. We sat up and observation to cover the Border Patrol's back while he was able to concentrate on the aliens coming towards him. While I was in my position, I heard gunshots ring out. I heard 5 shots. My immediate response was that it was the cartel trying to pot shot us because we've been turning back a lot of people lately. I mean, they've tried to surge us again, and we keep repelling them. So my immediate thought was that it was the cartel trying to flex up and shoot at us, or shoot to intimidate us. So I really didn't pay it any attention. I just put a note in the back of my head, oh, okay, you guys want to play. Well, when the subject that I was watching got out of my vision, I came up to the ridge to reposition myself to further observe him. And when I got to the top of the ridge, one of my teammates approached me and told me that a BP captain, Border Patrol captain, was looking for me. So I proceeded down the road to meet the BP captain. We met coming toward each other on the road. I observed the BP captain had my weapon in his hand. My weapon had been loaned to my teammate, who we call Jesus. He was holding my weapon that Jesus had, and Jesus was walking behind the Border Patrol agent, which was also unusual to me because if he had done something to have his weapon seized, typically you would think that he would have been in handcuffs and the Border Patrol officer would have been behind him, not allowing him to have the Border Patrol officer's back. So anyway, as I approached the Border Patrol officer, captain, told me that his agent had just discharged a weapon at my teammate and that they were unsure of the circumstances and that he wanted us to evacuate this hot area where we had people pushing towards us. We had people in the river. So for all of our safety, he requested that we move out of that location to a less hot area. So we relocated about 250 yards away that was had three-quarters of the land around us was an open field with a small brush area next to us. I followed the Border Patrol agent to that location. I stopped approximately 20 to 30 yards behind his vehicle. When we dismounted the mule, our vehicle, we disarmed ourselves. Just as a matter of respect and protocol, because I knew there was fixing to be a lot of federal agents there, I didn't want to have a lot of shit with us being armed. So we disarmed ourselves and left the weapons on the mule. About 15 minutes later, a bunch of Border Patrol agents started appearing. The Border Patrol captain approached me and asked me if we could secure the weapons that were laying on the mule because of the potential hazard with the aliens in the area and the close proximity of my mule to the woods, that there was a possibility, and I agree, that somebody could have ran out of the woods, grabbed our weapons, and opened fire on us with those weapons. So I agreed for him to secure those weapons in his vehicle for all of our protection. Because at the time, we had full trust with the Border Patrol. They trusted us. We trusted them. So I had no reason to doubt them or their intent. After about 30 minutes, there was over 35 federal agents out there, FBI, DHS, Border Patrol Intelligence, the Cameron County Sheriff. They took possession of my ID. They took possession of a camera, and they took possession of a walkie-talkie that was on the mule, which at the time I really didn't, you know, I objected to them taking my camera, but they were suspicious as to whether it had been utilized and whether there was video on there that was pertaining to the shooting. So they insisted that they took my camera. Anyway, after 5 hours of being talked to by the FBI, DHS, Border Patrol, and the sheriff, they told us that we were free to go. All the weapons were clear, no wants, no warrants. All the weapons were good. They refused to give me my weapons back. They said that they were part of the investigation. And when I questioned them as to how they were part of the investigation, being that none of us had discharged, none of us had pointed or done anything illegal or wrong, why they were being held, They opted to tell me nothing, but it is part of the investigation, and I was told to take the weapons. So they took my weapons, they took my camera, they took my teammates' weapons, and they took my teammates' machete that was on the mule, and they took our walkie-talkie. They never gave me a receipt for any of the material or individually owned property. They never gave us a receipt acknowledging that they took it or why they took it. And they told us that we were free to go and to leave the area. So we left the area. And as of this point, I have still not gotten a receipt for my property. I have still not been contacted by anyone explaining anything, and they all have my full identification, my phone number, everything about me, and they know my command situation with the group, and nobody has contacted us and tried to explain or help us to regain our property.
I do
that's probably where we're at.
I do want to reassure Casey, he does. You guys do have a legal team that will be contacting you, just so everybody knows. Article 5 Movement has acquired that for them, and they will also be contacted by a national organization that deals with constitutional issues, being laws being broken. And they don't have one lawyer. They have a team of lawyers.
Well, basically, so anybody that's listening and doesn't understand, the way that they conducted themselves, they violated
was illegal. Yes,
state law, federal law, and they also violated our civil and constitutional rights. To discharge a firearm at a private citizen without provocation or without announcement or without giving orders to drop your weapon is illegal. It's reckless danger. Reckless endangerment with a firearm, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, or attempted murder, and if it was a civilian that did that toward them, they would be so heavily charged they wouldn't see sunshine.
I got a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
First of all, you said that you were patrolling a landowner's private property with their permission. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. That was confirmed by Border Patrol, the FBI.
Well, then why?
Everybody involved.
Why, if you were on private property, why would they be taking anything from you? You're on private property, and you were there with permission. They have no business taking anything from you. If you were out on public land, it is a different story. But you're on private property,
sir.
And they were asked to assist.
Sir, I completely agree. And your question is a very valid question, and I have the same question, and I have repeatedly asked the same question, and I have been denied access to my property or a proper explanation as to why it occurred.
All right, well, here's my next question. Do you still trust the Border Patrol?
No, sir, not at all.
Thank you.
Let me rephrase that. We have spoken privately and individually with the Border Patrol agents that we have worked with. They are upset, disgusted, and have verbalized that very strongly to us as to what happened. My distrust mainly is toward the brass and the upper management of Border Patrol, because they are the ones that not only threw us under the bus, they lied to the media, and they tried to villainize us to cover their own ass. Because they're officers.
May I point something out that just judging by your story alone, something that you might have slipped past you. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Judging by your story, you and your boys were just set up. Because here's the thing. You're in the area. You got bushes and the river behind you. You hear some business going on down by the river. Next thing you know, you hear gunshots. Next thing you know, everybody's weapons are being taken. And then magically, the FBI and the DHS is there too. You were set up, my friend. they're trying to demonize you and make you an example because they don't like you guys. You guys are making them look bad. They want
well,
them to
brass,
make you guys.
The brass feels that way, yes. The actual boots on the ground patrol agents have expressed multiple times in multiple ways the gratitude for what we are doing. They have watched us work.
Okay.
They have
Let me rephrase real quick. First of all the underlings, they're going to be on your side because they're thinking great American people out here helping us. But the captain and everybody above him, they don't want that. They're all political. And so, therefore, the captains and the DHS and the FBI, they're not telling the underlings what's really going on. They're just useful idiots to them, and they set you up. And that's exactly what you just got done telling me, judging by your own story. You and your guys are just set up, and you bet it's not over.
Well, I agree
I need
with that.
To let y'all
another
know
thing,
something.
Another thing and another fact that we found out, originally we BP agent that discharged his firearm was a rookie. Come to find out, he is a 12-year veteran of the Border Patrol. He is new to the area,
uh-huh.
And supposedly he was not informed of our presence out there. And one of his reasoning for firing at my man was because he said he mistook him for an illegal alien. I have been working this border for over 3 months. Every illegal alien that I have encountered, every male illegal alien I have encountered has had short hair and a clean facial hair, maybe a mustache at most. The man that was shot at has long hair and a beard, and he resembles the stereotypical picture of Jesus. That's why we call him Jesus. And this Border Patrol agent stated in front of me that he mistook him for an illegal alien holding the weapon. Yet he never identified himself, nor did he ever issue a command to drop his weapon. He just
That's right.
Fire.
Like I said, you were set up just like Sergeant Charles Dyer. He's sitting in prison. He was set up the same as you. This is the playbook of the federal government. I don't care if it's the police, the DHS, or the Border Patrol. They when you are doing something against their political agenda, they will set you up and make you look like the bad guys in the public's eye. At least that's
the Border Patrol.
But
can I interrupt for a second? The Border Patrol put together a statement, and it's in Congress right now, where they would work for free with no overtime and on their free time to help secure this border, and Congress is not going to pass it.
Well,
can
here's
I ask
a
question?
Here's
okay,
another,
real
well,
quick.
Can I put a little,
yes.
another tidbit of information out there for you guys? That the Border Patrol agents that are working in our area, in our sector, have been told by their bosses that they are allowed one tank of fuel per shift.
That's
and
right.
If they run out of fuel, they have to park their vehicle and not do anything. They are not allowed to expend more than one tank of fuel. So if there's a hot operation and they're having to zip and run and they run out of fuel, they are commanded by their command to stay and do not add fuel to the vehicle. And some of the BP agents have gone around that by putting their own money into the fuel tank so that they can continue to do their job. These yeah. men that are on the front line, these Border Patrol agents that are putting their lives on the line like us, are really dedicated good men. I have been side by side with them and ran through the jungles chasing these people. These guys are hardworking, dedicated men and women of the Border Patrol. Like stated previously, it's the upper echelon, it's the officers that are the problem. And just like I had spoke with the captain, and we tried to make it clear from the beginning that we would not go on social media and talk about this. We would keep this private because we did not want the Border Patrol being discredited, or we did not want negative attention brought towards any of us. But I was no more than 5 minutes back at camp when my phone was blowing up, and Agent Zamora had already released press release, and it had already publicized and put on the internet before I ever got back to camp. And the last thing that I said to the captain before I left the spot where they had us detained is that we would keep it quiet if they kept it quiet. And that captain told me, assured me, that they would not say anything, that the press would not be notified. But instead, it was a blatant lie, and they got in the media, and they blatantly said that we identified as militia, which is a blatant lie, blatant lie. Matter of fact, we told everybody, FBI, DHS, and everybody involved, we are not militia. We are not associated with the militia. We are private, concerned citizens from all across this country here to do our duty to protect our country and to protect our citizens. Never was the word militia mentioned or used by us, but yet in the paper it says that we profess to be militia. They are intentionally lying to the public and deceiving the public.
Now I have two
questions.
It's
called propaganda, my friend. I believe Karen had a question.
Yeah, now I have two of them, Earl. My first one is, how many of these same stories, similar stories, do we have to hear as a nation, as a people who are tired of hearing it? How many of these stories do we have to hear about before finally people stand shoulder to shoulder in support of each other and demand these people change their actions? We have the power as the people, and it's time that people remember that. Okay, that is my first question. Well, it's kind of more of a statement. My second one is another thing. Whether you're militia or you're not militia or whatever you want to call your group, the Lone Rangers, the whatever it is, that should not matter. I am so sick of people saying, well, we have to make it clear that we're not a militia. Okay, for one, the M word is not a bad word. I'm militia. I have no problem admitting to being militia. I'm proud to be militia. And people need to be taught that militia is not the way the propaganda that they keep putting out there to give the word a bad name is not correct.
Ma'am, I agree.
Militia is only a bad word if you're a tyrant.
Let's jump in here.
The Constitution states that all people between the ages of 18 and 42, I believe, are militia. Every citizen. So in theory, by the Constitution, you are absolutely correct. But due to the political pressures and the negative connotation, we don't use that word.
Rick,
I'm going to answer Karen's question.
Here.
I'm going to answer all of y'all's question if you give me just a minute here. I've been in the militia movement for 23 years. That's documented. Everybody that basically knows me knows that. I'm going to tell you why the militia has become a bad word. Our founders knew that for us to maintain our freedom, we had to have some kind of a civilian mechanism that was militarized, very well armed, that could defend our Bill of Rights and our constitutional way of life in America. And over the years, well, that's purposely been put down, and let me tell you why. It's because when a militia is powerful, it's well-regulated and it's trained and disciplined right, well, it doesn't allow for corruption. And we all know that about every state and every county is about as corrupt as hell. Now, as long as they keep that word militia a demonized word, well, who does that give power to? That gives power to the tyrants. Patrick Henry made a statement about if we ever gave up our militias, how precarious our life would become. That we gave up everything. We give up everything when we give up that militia thing, because that's the mechanism that keeps us free. Everybody says, well, they've got a plan to fix the government. Well, let me tell you what a good plan is. Just obey the Second Amendment. Just know the Second Amendment.
There you go. There you
Second
go.
Amendment.
Listen, everybody, I hate to do
real
this, but I'm way overdue on commercial break. So if everybody will just hang tight, and we'll come back in 5:09. I'll bring you on the air as soon as commercials are over with. But
I'll tell you what. Good night, everybody.
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
You're listening to The Dashboard Outlaw with Earl Conlon. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
All systems go!
Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio proudly present The Friday Night Super Show, hosted by Dennis Ford from The Friday Night Show on NWO Truth Radio and The Mouth from The Last Voice for Liberty, broadcasting live across dual networks for a cross-promotional show of epic proportion. Tune in live Friday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the most groundbreaking show on the web. The Friday Night Super Show, presented by Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio. You are awake. Now, be aware.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to slice of the pie.
So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
We are Americans.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Einstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
A disarmed our nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed?
This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rules. That's what true democracy is, it's mob rules.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you gotta be careful of who you listen to and whose input you take. It's all fun and games.
Original Gorilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to uphold gangster banksters and a bunch of tyrannous political puppets.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
What if you worked for the government and the government didn't work for you? What if freedom were a myth? What if we don't live in a free country? What do we do about it?
Another day like any other.
of the blue, it turns to horror.
And we as a Congress have the ability, the authority to undo regulations. For too long we have allowed our regulatory bodies to write law and we do nothing about it.
How could they will pay when their ego cries.
Because it isn't the guilty that suffer, so often it's the innocent who suffer.
When the ego
Drivers with David Miller, Sundays and Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, only on Worldwide Resistance Radio.
And we are back. Anyway, during the commercial breaks, I was sitting here watching what the people in the chat rooms were saying, and a young lady named Anna Carpenter reminded me of a joke. And I'm going to tell this joke before I bring everybody else back on the air. The joke goes like this. You have a cowboy, an Indian, and a terrorist sitting at a bar at a table. And the Indian says to the cowboy and the terrorist, "Once we were many, now we're a few." The cowboy starts laughing. And both of the other two, the Indian and the terrorist, are looking at the cowboy wondering why the hell he's laughing. And then the terrorist says, "Well, once we were few, now we are many." And the cowboy broke out laughing again. Finally, the terrorist said, "Hey, why the hell are you laughing?" The cowboy says, "That's because we ain't played cowboys and terrorists yet." That's the joke. Anyhow, all right, everybody's coming back on, and I'm bringing in the new number here, 509. You haven't been on yet. 509, you're live on the air.
Thank you.
Hey, who do we got here?
Thomas. This is Thomas Mick.
Thomas Mick, oh, the man with the plan. For those of you who are not familiar with Thomas Mick, he's got a plan of action of how to restore things to where they're supposed to be. Anyhow, you've been listening into what Charles Dyer's situation and the border situation. Have you been hearing all this stuff?
Oh yeah, oh yes, with intense interest. That border,
oh, yeah.
If that border falls. If that border falls, the republic falls. So that border is, unfortunately, right now, it's the highest priority we have.
I agree. But you know what's sad about it, though, Thomas? You know, what's really, really sad is the situation in the border is not the cause. It's a symptom. The cause is the federal government.
Well, if we really want to know the root of what's happening, which is not being addressed, quite frankly, by nearly anyone, is the agreement that George W. Bush signed in March of 2005 called the Security and Prosperity Partnership, where him, Mexico, and Canada, the leaders of the three nations, signed an agreement that, in effect, erases the Canadian and Mexican borders and creates the North American Union.
Bush Sr. did that. I remember when Ross Perot, Clinton, and Bush Sr. were on the stage debating. I had a handyman business in California, and Ross Perot had everything right except one thing. He said, if you do this NAFTA, this North American Free Trade Agreement, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound coming from Mexico. Well, that's the only part he got wrong. He should have said from China.
Well,
NAFTA was
initiated
and began by Bush Sr.
Well, yeah, but see, that was NAFTA. That was the Free Trade Agreement. But NAFTA didn't call for erasing the borders. The SPP
did.
It did.
Yes,
well,
it
NAFTA
did.
Integrated our economies, The North American Free Trade Agreement integrated our economies, but the Security and Prosperity Partnership actually defined and brought about, is bringing about the erasure of the borders and the merging of the three nations politically as well as economically.
Here's the thing. As a truck driver, I was really, really interested in NAFTA because, yes, it did erase the borders and it deregulated the trucking industry, and now we live under total government democratic rule out of here in the trucks. They tell me when I'm tired, when I can sleep, when I can't sleep. They can tell me when I can drive, when I can't drive.
Big Brother.
So much more.
The globalist paradigm. But what we're facing on the border right now is the globalist governors of the four border states are not enforcing their borders. They're committing treason because for any governor, for any officer of that matter, government such as Texas, California, New Mexico, and Arizona, we won't even mention the federal government. I don't even consider them to be an entity anymore. They're a lawless foreign body at war with the several people or the people of the several states. However, the border governors also have a duty to protect the life, liberty, and property of their citizens. And all four of those border governors are committing high treason by aiding and assisting the invasion of their states. And I don't care what the feds do, because the states have the power to throw the feds out of their states. But just like Congress, they're a bunch of wimps, and they're not going to do anything. They're just going to cave.
Governor
KC,
yes,
you're on the border. What do you think of what Mr. Mix just said?
I agree 100%. And Governor Perry is a gutless, spineless waste of human existence. He has been accoladed by the Muslims, the Sunni Muslims, which are the ISIS terrorists. You can look it up on Google. He's been given awards. He's been given accommodations for being such a great, wonderful guy to support the people that are trying to kill us. Governor Perry sent the National Guard to the border with one M4 per squad. Governor Perry sent the National Guard to the border to spy on the citizens / militias and report to the Texas DPS on our activities. Governor Perry is a lying, scumbag piece of shit. And I don't care, and I hope he hears that I said it.
I don't trust a single one of them, my friend. And I personally think we the people are being way too nice. I think it's time to actually start fighting and quit talking. But that's me.
I'm talking about
not you and your men getting your weapons taken away. You take theirs away. You put them in handcuffs. Detain them, you know, turn the tables, and that's the way I see it. But I'm not down there, and I'm not a soldier, so I can sit and talk until I'm blue in the face. What I can do is offer what I have, and what I have is I'm a very strategic thinker, but I've got to get people to stop and quit talking for a minute and listen, but I can't say these things on air. That's why I've been calling for these Patriot camping trips, so that maybe somebody other than me can have these ideas in their head.
Well, the rule that I would like to see implemented by not just KC's group at Camp Lodestar, but all militia on the border, or citizens, concerned citizens, however they want to call themselves, is that if they're fired upon, they need to return fire. And it doesn't matter what uniform they have. If they're fired upon, they have a right, an absolute natural right of self-defense. And if you don't fire, you're going to end up in the same boat that KC found himself in. And I know he's learned his lesson here. There are no friends. There are no friends in the federal government. They are the enemy. They are enabling the invasion of the Republic of the United States of America. And that is treason. That is high treason. And I'm saying that to every single federal officer who obeys the chain of command. It aids this invasion, either by driving these people, whether they're called children or not, because I've heard that the definition for child in this humanitarian event that Obama keeps insisting it is, that the definition of child goes up to 30 years old. But it ain't no damn well that most Americans aren't even going to look at the definitions. They're only going to believe what they hear. And they hear child.
Yeah, 30
people
years
think
old.
About child as a child.
30 years old, really?
Yes.
My dad would slap me in the head at 12 years old and tell me to be a man.
Well,
anyway.
Tattooed MS-13s that are in their 20s are just as dangerous as any others. They're murderers. They're killers. They work for an armed organized gang that has infiltrated the United States, and they hate our guts.
Can I please interject for a moment?
Certainly.
I've worked on the border. I've worked this border from El Paso to Brownsville. I have never seen a child in any area that I've worked. I've seen mid-teens, and I've seen the majority of the immigrants that we're seeing are in their 20s and early 30s. I have personally witnessed and detained one female entire time that I've been on this border. She was from Guatemala, one of the people that now Obama is giving free asylum to. This bullshit in the media that it's all humanitarian, all these children. If anybody has any intelligence, bring your ass to the border and see a child cannot survive going through the woods in the jungle of the border. If they are brought across, they are pampered and sheltered. There's no way you can – it's hard for grown men to survive out there. There is no way a child would be able to survive without the help and influence and push of adults. And like I stated – I have not ran across one child in 3 months of working this border from El Paso to Brownsville, which is approximately 1,200 miles of border. So this shit that they're putting in the media, the only time children come across is when the media cameras are there to watch. It's there to desensitize people to these illegal immigrants, these terrorists that are crossing our border. It's complete bullshit.
Well, you know, everybody knows right from wrong. And we know that what's going on is wrong. I don't care if they wear badges, whether they have good intentions, if they're serving the master, such as the state, instead of the will of the people like they're supposed to, they're wrong. I don't care how good they are, how nice they are. I could be the nicest guy in the world, but I could cut your throat, too, if you came and tried to hurt my family. It's just as simple
as
that. This house in Georgia is my home. The county that home is in, that's my home, too. The state that county's in, that's my home, too. And the country that state is in is my home, and I will defend it until my death. And I don't give a crap whether they have a badge, whether they're liberal, conservative. I don't care. If they mean to do me harm or take away what I've worked so hard for, I will do them harm. And I will not lose any sleep over it because murder is done with evil intent. But to defend oneself or another or your nation, there is no wrong. You want to put yourself on the side of freedom and the people? Great. If you want to be on the other side, I feel bad for you. That's the way this outlaw sees it.
I agree with you, sir, 100%.
I mean, let's put it this way. We've been nice. We've been tried to be civil. We've protested our butts off. We petitioned our butts off. We called and did everything we could. We voted as like good people, but none of it's working. And what have we got now? Police all over the country abusing people, shooting their dogs, shooting people. I mean, hell, they just shot this kid while he was having an epileptic fit. And now we've got Border Patrol shooting at our militia boys down there trying to help out and taking their weapons. That makes my blood boil.
And they knew for fact we were in the area. We were requested by a dismounted BP officer to assist. We took his back. We covered his back. Now, whether they had a breakdown
crap
station, I don't understand. I don't know what the problem was, but it was not on our end. We have adhered to our ROEs, which are clearly defined. They have been given to the Border Patrol. We have held tight the agreements and arrangements that we made with BP. We have also kept that under our hat for the protection and the cooperation that BP had afforded us up until this point. We had not publicly stated that BP was in an assistance position and that when we were on the border, Border Patrol up to this point backed up and left us alone and let us operate autonomously. They never interfered with us. That's why another reason I seem to agree with the consensus that this was a setup. And they used, and I will tell you, I honestly, sincerely believe that the agent that shot at us did so without intent. He was white as a ghost when I first saw him after he shot at my man. That does not happen. You cannot just create your skin to flush like his was flushed. He was genuinely scared, and he genuinely, I believe, fired his weapon out of fear. Now, why a trained officer should have that much fear, I have no understanding. Why a trained officer?
Because he feared you. He feared you. Casey, it's clear as a bell. If he was white as a ghost, he's obviously scared. He was afraid of you and your boys because he did not want to get into a gunfight, but he was following orders. And that's the biggest problem in the BP and the police is that they obey orders no matter what because that's how they are being trained. But, Casey, did you serve in the military, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, now you tell me, when you have a commanding officer that is giving you unconstitutional, unethical orders, what is the protocol?
Do not follow those orders, and I will not follow those orders.
And according to my dad that served in Vietnam, the protocol is that, first of all, the next in command is to relieve the commander of his duty, assume his command, and detain him. And the same thing goes for the police. They're supposed to be detaining anyone that's given them unconstitutional, unethical orders. You are not obligated whatsoever to, even if it's coming from Obama himself, you are not obligated to follow any orders that are unconstitutional. And that's the problem. They're training these people to just obey blindly orders and that they're not to question the authority figures above them at all. And there's where our problem sits. So I would like to recommend before the end of this show, which we have 16 minutes left, I would like to recommend, sir, that while you're down there, you have some good talks with those good, honorable BP agents and tell them, they do not have to follow unconstitutional orders. And if they don't know the difference between a constitutional law versus an unconstitutional law, they better get learned real quick because they're going to find themselves on the wrong side of the fight.
I agree with you. And we have spoken candidly and privately with some of these Border Patrol agents, and they have shared their extreme disgust with what happened. First off, they're embarrassed that one of their officers would be so quick to shoot without identifying himself or without giving any commands. The man walked up and immediately started firing upon my man.
Am I alive?
Well, I'm glad that your man ain't dead.
I am too, and I'm glad that he had enough discipline to be able to control and identify the target and to be able to voice and verbalize to the officer that he was not a threat, and the officer quit firing. Because, you know, a lot of combat vets may, out of instinct, turn around and shot that BP officer, which would not have been a good deal for any of us in the movement, period. The way that it happened, unfortunately, yes, I was victimized and my teammates were victimized. But fortunately for all of us, it didn't get out of control to the point to where we started the new revolution. Not saying that that's necessarily a good thing, but I'm glad for the safety of my men that it did not occur.
Well, you know, let me point something else out to everybody that's listening. Back in the days of George Washington, those people lived very poor. They had very little, and they were living off of the generosity of the other people that weren't fighting in the war. However, the difference between them and today, they gave their lives. They were real patriots. Today, everybody wants to call themselves a patriot. Let me finish. Everybody wants to call themselves a patriot. But I said last Sunday on the show, you can be patriotic, but that does not make you patriot. A patriot
Amen.
Gives his life or lays his life down for the cause of liberty and freedom. Now, if you want to be a patriot, you ain't no better than the people that suffered and died under George Washington. You want freedom? Get up and earn it. Get off your asses. Do something. And I ain't talking about another Facebook post. I'm talking about get up and fight.
So that is one of the problems that I've faced since I've been out here on the border. We have so many keyboard commandos, so many armchair rangers. Everybody talks all this good patriotic bullshit, and I have 8 full-time men that are fighting around the clock. We are awake 19 to 20 hours a day to preserve the freedoms and liberties of this country. We put our lives on the line with no sleep, very little assistance, and very little financial support. This is coming out of our pocket. And I am highly disgusted of all these people that keep talking all this patriot shit, and yet they don't contribute financially, physically, or even emotionally for that point. I don't see anybody down here, that many people trying to help us. I don't see that many people following through with the words, oh, man, I'm sending so many guys. I'm going to send this or I'm going to do that. Everybody, or I will put it this way. 97% of America is full of shit.
And it makes me fucking sick. Excuse my language, Anna. But yes, it makes me sick. Because here's what
I'm sicker
I've been
because saying. I put my life on the line every day, and it's still not going to deter me from my mission. But I'm sick to death of hearing these people claiming patriotic, and all this other bullshit. I'm militia, I'm this, I'm that. When you're a fucking coward sitting on your couch behind your keyboard screen running your mouth. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these armchair rangers.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something, Casey. I'm 51 years old. I smoke too damn much. I'm way out of shape. However, it doesn't mean I would not do what I have to do.
Sir,
I know I'm not
I am
a soldier.
40.
Let me finish.
Sir,
I never served in the military. I grew up on the streets. I'm a street fighter. But, like I said earlier, I know my place. My place is I'm a very strategic thinker. I've beaten things twice my size, weight, and muscle simply by finding a plan, a way to do it without getting myself killed or other people killed. That doesn't mean I think I'm the best there is, but I do think that what I have in my head and my planning and the way I do things would be very beneficial if we were to go on the offensive. But that's the hard part. I can't find anybody with a set of nuts in their pants that will go on the hard part, because if I could give this plan to somebody that is qualified to put it to work, it would happen. I guarantee it.
Sir, I want you to understand, I am 48 years old. I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I have ridden motorcycles the majority of my life. I am beat up, banged up, and tore up. So I am not in the greatest physical condition myself. But I do not let anything come between me and what I feel I'm compelled to do, and that is stand up and defend my country and my Constitution. So, I mean, excuses are like assholes, and I'm not saying that you're useless.
Absolutely.
I'm just stating for the fact that excuses are like assholes. Everybody's got one, and some stink more than others. And if I wanted to use
absolutely,
an excuse, I could go back and use a million of them. I am financially successful. I have a candy-ass life. I have a wonderful family. I've got a beautiful home. I have a lot of assets and a lot of fun living at home. But instead, I'm living like a primitive fucking homeless person, scratching in the dirt every day, spending what resources I have to further the mission to protect my country. So, you know, I get so tired of people making comments, or, well, I would, but this. Well, I could come up with those same excuses, and I do not allow them to stop me. So that is an aggravation to me, and I don't mean that directly.
That's right. No, Casey, but I never said, but what I say is that I am this, and I know that I would be more of an asset doing other things than carrying a gun and storming the hill. Does that make sense?
No, well, not to me strategically it doesn't, because like I've tried to express to people, there are several ways for people to be involved. Not everybody is a boot on the ground, so that I do agree with you.
Absolutely.
Not everybody has the propensity or whatever to be a boot on the ground, but everybody, every American citizen should be involved in some form or another, whether it be logistics, whether it be resupply, whether it be donations, whether it be media campaign, whether it's getting out on the streets, beating the streets up to spread our word and to spread our cause. There's a ton of things that can be done besides sitting behind
That's why I'm doing this radio show, because I am not doing this. Nobody pays me to do this radio show. I am doing this for the love of country. I'm doing this to help people that are on the border, that are helping try to get Charles Dyer out of that prison and back out on the streets, trying to help Thomas Mitt get his plan of action in case, trying to help any way I can possibly help. I'm the big mouth truck driver that was trying to go up against the federal government in October. I have been doing this political activism for over 15 years. And all I'm trying to do is get men like you to join me and sit down and listen to my ideas. The things I can't say on the radio, I can't say it on the phone. I need to go camping with you. That's what I need to do. Lay it all out in detail. You see what I'm saying?
Well, but yes, sir. My door is always open.
I am not making any excuses, and I've said this a million times to a million people, that if there was a way that I could do something, I would be on the front lines. But, you know, I'm going to be the first guy out of breath crawling up the hill. But I'll tell you where I am good. Put me behind a set of wheels. That's what I do for a living. I'm a long-haul trucker. I sit behind a damn wheel for 10, 15 hours a day. But you put me behind a set of wheels, I'll run circles around anybody you got.
And those are assets,
like
qualifications that are being utilized.
Like,
you're doing the best you can,
like you
and
said,
I agree,
sir.
And I appreciate it.
yes, like you said, sir, I'll tell you this right now. Just going, like I said, I never joined the military, so but all I really know is Hollywood military. So using the TV show MASH, yeah, we had the soldiers, we had the doctors, but we had radar, and none of those other guys would have had what they needed to complete their missions without radar. So
absolutely.
Even that insignificant little fellow that was in the office was very important. Well, that's the way I look at it. If you're the tough guy that's really good at shooting, let's put it this way. It's not safe to stand behind me when I'm shooting a gun. I suck with a gun. But my wife, she's dead on, man. She's badass with a gun. But standing behind me with a gun, it's still not safe. That bullet might find you.
There's a funding link. If everybody would just send $5 a week, there's a funding link on my Facebook page, Americans for Constitutional Recovery. It is connected to a transparent nonprofit organization, which is mine, I'm the president of, that will go directly to these guys on the border. If every one of your listeners would donate $5 a week, that would easily cover at least two or three tanks of gas.
How many shows have I said to people, if you cannot be there to fight yourself,
fund those
who can?
And, yes,
if you
because
can't get
I know
off
Earl
your butt
does,
and go
the
down
time.
There and carry a gun and help, then send the money. Because those people, whether you want to call them militia, citizens, army,
whatever you want to call them,
they're still our fighting men in uniform. They ain't no different than the support the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. They are our soldiers. They are the ones that are fighting for our security and our freedom. And if you have the money to do it, you better start sending them. If you have the power and the energy to get up and help them, then get up and do it. Even if it's just sending care packages, whatever you can do. Not everybody can be boots on the ground. Some of you can help out somehow, some way. It's
I agree 100%.
To use your damn head and find a way to
a
do it.
Absolutely. Everybody can play a role. And not like I said, and you said, not everybody is qualified or able to be a boot on the ground. But every American citizen who loves this country and loves the freedoms that our forefathers fought and died for can be a part. Give me one fucking McDonald's hamburger meal a week. I spend, and our camp spends, $100 a day in fuel to keep us running. Now, I mean, that's a lot of money, and it adds up quickly. And thankfully, a guy named Rob Chute and myself and the contributions of our donors have allowed us to keep our mission going because we've had the necessary finances. But we are heavily under-equipped. We do not have but one patrol vehicle, one four-seater mule that I bought and I put over 1,500 miles on running this border. We don't have night vision equipment so that we can operate at night except for the pair that I brought and the pair that Rob has. That's it. We don't get it. We're not getting the support. We got guys sitting at home hoarding all this gear that aren't doing shit with it. Why don't people put it to use? Why don't you let American citizens protect your border with all this cool gear you got? And tons of people have this gear, and nobody's helping.
I have to agree with you, JJ.
I see posts on Facebook all the time about all these weapons these people have, and if you don't have this much, if you know how many weapons you got, you ain't got enough. Okay, get your damn weapons and head for the frickin' border. Do something. Anyhow, we're at the end of the show, folks. Go ahead.
I just lost three weapons. I just lost three weapons, and thank God that I had more. And therefore, I am still able to protect myself and my teammates with the weapons that I have. But, you know, we need help. We need assistance. We need financial contributions. We need equipment contributions, and we need boots on the ground.
Casey,
and you can find all those links and information on Americans for Cost Boost and Recovery, too. Their address is up there.
Let me say this before the end of the show. Casey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
The number that you called tonight to be on this show, I want you to call that same number the same time every night, 9 o'clock. Well, you're in down there in South Texas. That would be
Central.
8 o'clock to 10 o'clock your time. Every night you'll get a different show, and you tell that host that running the other shows that the Dashboard Outlaw told you to call.
Yes,
and
sir.
Every night you're getting a whole new audience, and you're going to get word out and say what you said to me tonight. We need help, whether it's boots on the ground or money, but $100 a day gasoline. We need help. Send me a McDonald's Happy Meal. I don't care. Help us. Do that every night.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the attention, and I appreciate you inviting me to your show, and I appreciate your support, and I appreciate everything that the people that are helping us are doing. I just want to express that.
Just so you know, the Truth Emerges Network, New World Order Network, the NWO, that is, and the WWR Network. Every one of these networks will help you with their audience hearing what you got to say and say, I need help. So please put that phone number, speed dial into your phone and call it every night, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to say thank you, and I'm honored that you came on my show. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Earl, for having me.
Talk again. Maybe next Sunday, give another call and give us an update, all right? All right. He's gone. Anyhow,
yes.
That's it. We're in overtime right now, but I got to get some sleep. And thank you, Denise. Thank you, Karen and Mr. Light and Thomas Mick, everybody. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Bye.